If it's happening in high school sports, we're talking about it now on the Prep Spotlight, presented by Spectrum Collision, featuring Pigskin Pete and AL.com's Ben Thomas. An hour of all prep sports on 105.5 FM, online at WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app. The Prep Spotlight, presented by Spectrum Collision, and brought to you by Dr. Christopher Mullinex, BASF, the Pollen Agency, Farmers Insurance, and Edward Jones Investments. Now, here are Ben Thomas and Pigskin Pete.
Welcome in, Sports Radio WNSP 105.5. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Ben Thomas, Pigskin Pete with the Prep Spotlight on the sports station WNSP. Extremely busy week, Ben Thomas. There's a lot's been happening in our sports world with a reclassification. I know the All-State team just came out recently. And speaking of really good players, it's going to be on a lot of lists. Will Breland from UMS Wright, we've had several coaches during the course of the year, some players, and Will Breland from UMS, dynamic player, one of the great players to watch. He's going to join us during the Prep Spotlight. And speaking of special guests, we've got a Mr. Jalen in the studio right now with us. I guess he's out of school with this Christmas break, huh?
Yep, Jalen Thomas. He's fired up to be here, as you can see, playing on his iPad. But
first thing he told me a while ago, he said, I had a birthday recently.
November.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, how old?
2 days away from Christmas. He's still talking about his birthday.
I see, yeah. 8 years old. That's awesome. But and that's I'm seeing him get bigger and bigger as he comes in periodically here. That's great. I guess you guys are ready ready for holidays over the next few weeks and the next few days and getting ready for a big year.
Yeah, I hope so. We had signing day last week. I'm hoping that Jane will get a few offers in college, but right now I'd just like to get him an offer from Bayshore Christian. If we could just get him a scholarship there, that'd be good.
Hey, got to start somewhere. You know, they're offering early and early these days, Ben. So
I know.
You know, you're kind of well known, Jalen. That's an advantage for him when it comes to recruiting.
I don't know about that. He may not want to know me by the time he gets older.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, speaking of recruiting, Ben, we had the early signing day this past week, and one thing I didn't notice is I don't think we have the hoopla that we do in February typically year by year. Still some big signings, but I didn't see too many of these players doing the hat by hat, spreading them around, making these crazy big announcements. I just thought a lot of them were just said and done.
Yeah, there were a few of those nationwide, Pigskin, but none in-state. I mean, everything was pretty much everybody knew where they were going. Now, it's still – you know, the large portion of the classes for the SEC teams, the Power 5 teams, have been decided now. I think I saw a stat where last year 77% of the kids who signed football scholarships signed in the early period. I'm sure it was the same this year. So still got some work to do. We'll still have a lot of kids in locally, I think, signed with other schools in February, including, you know, one of the biggest, Chris Abrams-Drain. He's probably the biggest unsigned player in the state remaining. He's committed to Ole Miss but did not sign. He's going to take a few visits, I think. Of course, had surgery after the championship game. So he'll be one to watch. I mean, as far as I know, he's still planning on going to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is still planning on him being there, but you never know. We saw with DJ James, his former teammate, that things can change in a hurry. So we'll be watching what Chris is doing in the future.
And speaking of Ole Miss, you know, there was last week a couple of players that we've been keeping an eye on. Cedric Johnson over there at Davidson, the big defensive end linebacker at Ole Miss, and then DJ Thomas, a wide receiver, tight end, Saraland, Ole Miss. You just wonder, we know with Lane Kiffin taking over, if there were changes. So far so good for the local recruits sticking with that school.
Yeah, it's good to see both those guys talked highly of the – had met Lane and Coach Kiffin, I guess. I'm not really on a first-name basis with him.
Oh, Lane.
They met Coach
wow.
Kiffin. Okay. And talked highly of him. DJ Thomas, I think, you'll see him. Well, maybe both of them, but DJ Thomas could really be big in that Ole Miss offense. He's kind of a flex position Pigskin. He could play in tight end and run routes, kind of OJ Howard like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as big as OJ, but he could be a real weapon for Lane Kiffin. Of course, Cedric Johnson, one of the more unheralded guys in our area and in our state, 20 sacks he had this year for Davidson, Rick Colley, and the Warriors over there, and he committed to Ole Miss, I think, this past summer, and they stuck with him. So looking forward to seeing what those two guys can do over in Oxford. Should be a good landing spot for both of them.
You know, I know we're going to get into this reclassification because I thought it was interesting with some of the moves we're seeing, and every 2 years we're having to get this memberization back into play because all these schools are shifting regions. I want to talk to you about that, but Some of the key signees, since we're on the subject, Colin Lacey sticking with that commit to South Alabama. And I don't know who their number one, they consider their number one recruit, but from Faith Academy, what a player Colin Lacey's going to be, I think, for that program. He could get an early playing time, too, and make an impact.
Yeah, I heard, obviously played running back, ran for 1,800 yards for Faith Academy this year. They're undefeated region championship in the regular season. And he'll be at South Alabama. They recruited him as a wide receiver. But he'll get – I envision him kind of on speed sweeps a lot, like, you know, Eli Stove and Anthony Schwartz and those guys at Auburn. Really fast guy, really elusive guy. So I think he'll be a real weapon, a good find for Steve Campbell. I mean, gosh, you don't have many 1,800-yard rushers like him, and he'll be a good find for them.
And Du Bois Kennedy was, one of the highlights down here in the South. Anytime you can get an Alabama or an Auburn signee, one of the top schools in the state, but – you know, this isn't just a local product we're proud of. Teams are Alabama and all the fans across the state and coaches, they were happy to get this guy, Du Bois Kennedy. What a player down in Theodore.
Yeah, the three, you think about it, Pickskin, the three main powers in the SEC West are traditional powers. You know, he was committed. Auburn offered him early, and he committed to Auburn. So they were in it for a while, decommitted. And then he had been committed to Alabama since June, but LSU came in really late in the last couple of weeks. Coach Orgeron visiting Du Bois at the school there at Theodore, Coach Saban, I think a couple of visits by Coach Saban and some of the Alabama staff to keep him on. So he was really wanted in the SEC. He's got that great linebacker build, huge guy. Coach Collier's called him maybe the best athlete he's ever coached, which considering C.J. Mosley came through Theodore, that's pretty high claim. So I think Du Bois will be a big factor there. I think, you know, we did hear last week that he had a torn labrum for most of the year and is going to have surgery on that in the next week or so if he hadn't had it already. So hopefully he'll be back in action by the time he gets to Alabama. But a good sign and good to see. You know, we don't have a whole lot of guys on the Alabama roster right now. Really, the only guy from Mobile and Baldwin, I think, that's on scholarship is Jalen Armour Davis from St. Paul. So it's good to see Alabama come in and get a guy from here so we can have some keeping up with the Joneses from
I know. Yeah, I guarantee you he'll be on the list at some point. And it made me think, you know, it wasn't a last-minute decision. I remember T.J. Yeldon was an Auburn guy, and Saban's done that for not just against Auburn, but a number of teams. He's pretty good at closing the deal and bringing a player that may be committed somewhere else. I know T.J. Yeldon was a late one, just years ago, speaking of our local products. But Auburn got one, Daniel Foster Allen, the talented player, defensive player over at St. Paul Saints, and just another one to add to the list, what not only Coach Mask, but historically what St. Paul's has done, bringing some big-time recruits up to the college.
Yeah, Daniel's going to be a good player in Kevin Steele's scheme. I think he, you know, committed to Auburn, another guy who committed early and really you didn't hear much about him as far as colleges go. He had a good senior season at St. Paul's, but you didn't hear much about he's visiting here or there. I think he grew up an Auburn fan and he knew where he wanted to go and committed and ended up signing last Wednesday. So, he'll be a good guy, a good find. Another kind of guy that's kind of unheralded, you know, didn't get as much acclaim as Du Bois and some other guys across the state, but a really good player for Coach Mask and be a really good player at Auburn, I think.
Anything with our recruiting this past week? I know we had 7, 8, 9 players to maybe more than that, but anything surprise you from our local recruit signing day, early signing day last week?
Not too much. I mean, we pretty much knew who was going to sign and where they were going to go. So there's no, like you said, no hat tricks, none of that stuff, which I like. I like that. So I think.
Well, we didn't. I mean, just on the national level, I didn't see as much as you normally.
No, you're right. I mean, maybe the early signing, maybe that's one of the positives to early signing days to take some of that stuff out.
Cause, you don't have time.
And, you know, also social media takes a lot of that stuff out. Kid that used to, for a while, was a big thing to get up there and pick a hat or pull a stuffed animal out of a bag or whatever.
Yeah.
And nowadays, all these kids want to do it on social media. You know, they have the form that we joke about to produce. So you see, please to commit to so-and-so. No interviews, please. Respect my decision. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen that over the years, but that seems to be the thing. And, you know, at AL.com, we've produced, I don't know if we did any this year, but we've produced in the past some really nice signing videos, commitment videos. I don't have a lot to do with that, really nothing. But we have a good video team that did a video for Bo Nix, did one for Henry Ruggs off the top of my head. really good, well done videos. But they kind of gone away from that. So I think it just runs in cycles. You know,
maybe in February. Yeah, it just seems like there's so much all happening at one time when it gets into the end of the year, and then All-Star games, and maybe in February you'll see some of that come back, maybe some local stories. You still got some players left, maybe a few players left.
Yeah, I do think that has something to do with it. Your kids are just getting done with their senior seasons.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they went to the championship game or went deep in the playoffs, and there's just not time to do all that stuff unless you do it way in advance. So
yeah.
I kind of like it like that. I mean, you know, it'd be all right if we had one guy who was choosing between Auburn and Alabama on signing day just to kind of bring attention to the area, but it was a good signing day, and I think it'll be a good day in February. I know a lot more kids will end up at different schools, and it'll be intriguing to see where they go.
Yeah. So does the, I would think the social media makes it a little tougher on you personally and all the beat reporters that are trying to get the, you know, story or the latest scoop. I mean, with this social media, that's a little competition for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, a lot of times it takes out, you know, because of I'm fortunate enough to build relationships with these coaches and a lot of these athletes that maybe these guys that work for recruiting sites can't build because they're not here all the time. It takes a little bit of that aspect away in some situations because they can just put it out there on Twitter. And if I'm not looking at Twitter, you know, other guys can get it. But that's okay. I mean, it's all about the kid, and you know, you want them to have their moment. This is a big decision for them, Pigskin. Big decision for them to – just like it was for you and I. We didn't play on the next level, but it was a big decision for us to go to college. And you want them to have that moment. So that's all good.
Yeah, so that – signing day, the early signing day is done, and we were having this discussion with Dave Schultz. And you were all doing the recruiting show, and we were having maybe before you got there, about the faxing. They still fax with these
You can still fax, but now, yeah, you can do that, but now I think you can scan it and just email it in. Like Reggie Bracey, for instance, his from St. Paul's, who signed with Iowa, which by the way, I think – in the 7 or 8 years I've been doing it, I don't think we've ever had a guy going to Iowa. But he can – I think his mom was, like, in California visiting or something like that. So she had it, and she faxed it in or emailed it in from California. So it's not nearly as complicated. I think the fax machine truly are almost on the way out at this point.
All right. Yeah, well, it's still around, though. I tried to fax something last week, and they said –
One at your office?
Actually, I do, yeah.
How much use does it get?
Not too often. And now I'm running into cases where we don't have a fax machine. You got to email it. I said, okay. All right. Well, I wonder if the college recruits are doing it. I guess they still are to some degree.
Some degree, but
you want to talk
less.
A little reclassification next, Ben Thomas?
Let's do it.
All right. Holiday edition here of the Prep Spotlight. Ben Thomas, Pigskin Pete. We'll return in just a moment. Welcome back. Prep Spotlight, WNSP 105.5. Stephen Root in the studio along with myself, Pigskin Pete, Ben Thomas. Hoping you're having a great Christmas, and the New Year's coming up next week. As Ben Thomas, we are in Christmas week, and it's been a interesting story to follow the reclassification. We know it was coming. I know you took a trip last week in the early part of the week to Montgomery. I counted up 13 teams locally. Exactly good, but I counted 13 teams either going up or down a reclassification there, making a move, and maybe which one stood out to you locally of the moves that were made with our teams?
Well, I mean, I think the ones that stood out really the statewide, I think the most attention getter statewide was McGill-Tulin moving down from 7A. Now, this is, first of all, we should mention this is just fall reclassification, so they'll reclassify at the end of each sports season.
Was this just for football or just all the fall
football,
sports?
All fall sports.
Okay.
All fall sports reclassified. But McGill-Tulin dropping their enrollment, dropping from 7A to 6A, you know, largely because of the opening of St. Michael's in Baldwin County that took about 200 students away from them or maybe more. So, but McGill dropping down into 6A Region 1 was a big one. That was a kind of a head-turner. Statewide, and then Daphne moving up, kind of taking McGill's place, if you will, in 7A. Jaden and I live in Daphne, and there's apartments kind of – it seems like there's apartments on every corner now or going up on every corner, so that explains why Daphne's really kind of had a boon in enrollment. So those are the two noteworthy changes. But a lot of teams, you know, much more so than in the past years, I think a lot of teams in our area moving around Pigskin.
So you mentioned Daphne with the boom there. In the last few years, I've always thought, you know, as far as Spanish Fort, it just keeps growing. Is that new school? I say new school. It's been around 10 or 12 years. But are you starting to see now Daphne getting a big flow coming in with that school system? Is the reason they're up to 7A? Is that going to continue to grow
for
them?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that's where the growth is right now in Baldwin County. You know, and, of course, it's interesting now because you got Alberta opening and you got Orange Beach opening. So I think that's diluted people from, I know it has, from Gulf Shores and from Foley. Especially so, Daphne continues to grow, and of course Fairhope's still 7A school as well. So those two big schools on the Eastern Shore and 6A. But I was glad to see, and I wrote an article last week that, the interesting thing about these is when your rivals are in a different regions and different classifications, sometimes schedules don't allow them to play. But I did notice that, and I wrote a story last week that Daphne and Spanish Fort now in different regions. We'll play. They're going to play the last week of the regular season. I think it's October 30th this year.
So game is week 11. We call it, but that. So they're going to be. Is that a? Do you think a ongoing tradition? They're going to try to keep that.
Well,
the final
game?
Yeah,
they want to. A big money game, you know, for both schools. They want to go ahead and play, despite the fact, you know, despite the. I don't know if you want to say ill will, but the way last year's ended with the forfeit and all that stuff, there's a lot of controversy surrounding that. But I'm glad to see them put that. Beside, because those two teams need to play. I mean, they're close together. It's a big game. And then also, we had Joe Toomey. I was on the morning show with Mark Heim on Friday, and Joe Toomey called in, and he said that Murphy and McGill-Tulin, also in different classifications now, were still planning to play game. Not sure. He's tentatively maybe in week five, maybe that mid-season game. So it'll be good to see. But, you know, I kind of like it, honestly, Pigskin, just because we're going to get some different matchups to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the past 4 or 5 years, it's kind of been, you know, and we've had good matchups, Spanish Fort, Saraland, you know, all those good matchups. Now we're throwing McGill into 6A. We'll see McGill-Saraland, I think, like week two. That'll be a good matchup.
I got used to think about them in the same region. It's never been that way. But the good thing is you're still keeping the Spanish Fort and Daphne and you're still keeping some of the rivals like McGill Murphy.
And now you move up and you get Daphne Davidson. Daphne and Theodore have played the last 2 years, but, you know, Daphne Murphy.
Yeah.
Games like that. So that'll be intriguing. And then that's where you look around. Of course, we knew pretty much that St. Paul's and UMS were both going to be 5A because of competitive balance. UMS actually moved up by enrollment. So they got to be a bigger school. Anyway, but UMS St. Paul's, what does that do for that rivalry? Now in the same region for the first time since 2006 and 2007. Will Breland's on his way. I think he'll probably be able to. He's playing that rivalry. He'll probably be able to speak to that, and we'll look forward to that. And then
you know, it's a lot of close ties when UMS and St. Paul's goes head to head.
I mean,
right,
that region's
going to
be completely different. Vigor drops out of that region, but you got UMS and St. Paul's and Faith Academy coming off an unbeaten season. The three big private schools in the area and Mobile in that region. And then you look at Class 4A Region 1, it's going to be completely different without UMS, right? UMS moves out. Then you got Vigor in that region. You got Jackson in that region. So that'll be different. Still got
St. Michael's moves in there too, don't they?
St. Michael's moves up, yeah. And how about Alberta? Really haven't played as a varsity program yet. They've played some varsity games, but they move up to Class 5A. They were a 2A school originally, but they'll be 5A, and this will be their first year. They've played, like I said, they've played some varsity games in the past, but this will be their first year as an actual varsity team. And we should mention, by the way, that
that's a tough start, first year of being a varsity, and you're stepping into the 5A with the UMS Wrights and St. Paul's. Woof, pretty interesting there.
Yeah, they and we should mention, by the way, that Alberta really had the only coaching opening so far. Greg Siebert relieved of his duties, and then they announced last week, Pigskin, that Lanny Jones, the defensive coordinator, has been promoted to head coach at Alberta. So I talked to him. He was actually coming back from the Region 5 meeting, and I said, I don't know whether I should tell you congratulations or not.
What was his response there?
He just kind of laughed and said, well, we just hope to get in the weight room, and do that thing. So,
well, they didn't do too bad last year. I know they didn't playing the regions and all that, but
they won three games. I think they beat three varsity teams, so you know, they're growing. They need to continue to work on their facilities, their stadium. I actually haven't been there, but I know Coach Siebert told us at the media days last summer that they had to tell opposing teams to bring lawn chairs with them when they came. So there's some work that needs to be done there.
I think the 3A is interesting, too. Have you taken a peek there with Hillcrest Evergreen, dropping down to that? And, of course, the Mobile Christians already a juggernaut with that. But now Chickasaw and Cottage Hill joins that bunch. That's going to be fun to watch that one.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunate for Chickasaw. I mean, they what happened there was they really are a 2A school, but they started a virtual school last summer, a K-9 virtual school. And they thought, you know, the HSAA changed this fall. They used to count 10th through 12th grade for enrollment. Now they decided to count 9 through 11, which makes more sense because those are the guys that are going to be playing. I mean, the 12th graders aren't going to be playing. So
they hadn't been doing that before.
They had not been doing that, so they had to count 47 Chickasaw virtual students, ooh, which lifted in the 3A. Well, those kids are not even going really to Chickasaw. They're like could be anywhere in the state. Yeah. You know, so they got bumped.
These coaches, are when all these changes came across last week, we had 13 locally. Did a lot of them anticipate this, or they were just caught blindsided?
No, I think most of them. I mean, you know, there had been some enrollment list kind of sneak out, and everybody had probably seen it and had a kind of an idea. So I don't think anybody was really surprised. I mean, most people, you know, they can't wait to get the news. They're all looking, want to see. And it was interesting to me that how fast everything happened. Everybody had this happened Tuesday. Then most coaches had their region meetings to draw their region schedules on Wednesday and then spent the rest of the week trying to find opponents to play them.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of teams already got their schedule done. I mean, they don't wait.
Yeah, and I don't know if Ryan Lee, I saw where his St. Luke's Wildcats are going from 1A to 2A. So we don't have a 1A local team with that happening with St. Luke's moving up.
Yeah, of course, they dropped, I guess, 2 years ago, and they had those great seasons. So, hopefully they'll have that tough season for them this year. Hopefully they'll bounce back next year.
All right, so we come back. UMS writes, Will Breland, we'll get his thoughts on what about his I guess still team, but former football team. But we'll talk to him and more of the Prep Spotlight Christmas edition on WNSB.
Welcome back to the Prep Spotlight on WNSP, your source for high school sports. Now it's time to keep up with the Joneses as we take a look at some of our former Mobile and Baldwin County athletes who are now making the spotlight on the next level. Brought to you by Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Now, back to Ben Thomas and Pigskin Pete.
Welcome back, Prep Spotlight, WNSP, Ben Thomas, Pigskin Pete. Hope you're having a great holiday with our Christmas week and New Year's coming up. Really excited in our studio, Mr. Will Breland, state champions, UMS Bulldogs, going to join us in a couple seconds. First, Ben Thomas, we always have our Keeping Up with the Joneses, and somebody that was in the studio as well, a former player a couple years ago, Unique Thompson, who's making Faith Academy proud. Ben, I saw that earlier today, she was announced right now currently as the leader in the entire country with double-doubles. And I just pulled up her numbers, averaging for the Auburn Tigers, the former Faith Academy Ram, 19 points a game, 12 rebounds after the months of November and December with our college basketball. Unique, making it happen over there at Auburn.
Yeah, she was our EdwardJonesAle.com Female Athlete of the Year back a few years ago. So congratulations to her. A couple of NFL notes, Pigskin. Julio Jones, I don't know if you saw, former Foley star, former Alabama star, became the 27th player on Sunday with more than 12,000 yards receiving, and he's the fastest to do it. He did it in 125 regular season games. This year he has 82 receptions for 1,150 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Wow.
So pretty good job by Julio. And also just wanted to mention that
Atlanta's playing well lately, aren't they?
Yeah, unfortunately too little too late, but we'll see. And then a couple of our other local guys got signed to practice squads. Jamie Mosley from Theodore, C.J. Mosley's little brother, and Deshaun Davis from Viger, former Auburn star. He joins the Eagles. Jamie joins Arizona. So congratulations to those two guys. Mm-hmm. And congratulations to the guy in our office, Will Breland, the man, finishes with 3 state titles. Will, that's pretty good to go out. You didn't lose a game in 3 years. I guess you never lost a game as a starter, did you?
Well, I lost my sophomore year, my first year starting. I lost 2 games.
Oh, that's right.
We lost to Andalusia about the 4th game of the season. Then,
were you starting back then?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I started as a sophomore. It was my first year.
So then you lost to St. Paul's in the regular season finale, right?
Yes, sir. That was the last year we had it, the last game of the season. But who knows how it'll shape up this year with being a you know, region game for the two teams.
Did you ever think that you couldn't have thought at that point when you lost that game that, well, I'm probably never going to lose another high school game?
Never thought that at all, but, you know, it helped us going into that postseason. And, you know, we all thought, we didn't think we would make it to the state game, and then everything worked out to our advantage. And, you know, it really prevailed us to that state championship win that year, you know, just getting a loss from a really good team. They won the state championship too that year, and they had a bunch of great players, and, you know, we really shut them down the first half, and then the second half, you know, our offense could really go to get anything going, and then defense, we kind of just fell apart a little bit at the end. But, you know, that never would have thought that that was going to be the last game I ever lost as a player.
Speaking of that, while we're on that subject, though, as you mentioned, those two teams are going to be region rivals for the first time in more than a dozen years. Starting next year, they're both in Class 5A Region 1. It's already a pretty spirited rivalry. What will that do to it, do you think?
I was with a couple friends, a couple seniors, past players, you know, and we were just looking at the new list of, you know, new classifications. And then I said, you know, there's already enough hype for this game as it is. I can't believe what it's going to be now, the amount of pressure on the players with it being a region game, whether it's going to be the first game, middle of the season, or the last game of the season. So it's definitely going to hype it up a lot more.
When you're getting ready for that game week with St. Paul's, Will, how is it different walking around the school, talking with your friends? How is it different than any other week?
It's different a lot. You know, we've kind of talked lately that, you know, the past couple of years that the students and the fans kind of turned it into a lot bigger game than we as players see it as. But that's just a funny game because, you know, everybody knows each other from St. Paul's UMS. We hang out with each other out of school. And but, yeah, just walk around the halls. You know, it's really fun. Everybody's like, we got to be St. Paul's this year. You know, we did this, we did that. Y'all got to back it up for us. So, you know, it's always fun, you know, playing your rivals, and it's always a big game for us.
Can you imagine playing them twice like you did with Andalusia the last 3 years? I mean, that could happen. It's probably coming.
Exactly, and what St. Paul's did last year, you know, we got the better of them the first game of the season, but, you know, I always kept up with them just because they're down the road, you know, everybody on the team, and they started playing really good towards the end of the season. And I said to everybody after that Saraland game that they played, that if they played Saraland again, they probably would have beat Saraland. And, you know, definitely playing that team twice in a year would be something else for those kids.
Right. Well, what about this year for you guys? It seemed like, and you'd know better than I would, but it seemed like in the games I saw and just watching the scores that it was a bit more of a grind than last year. Would you say that was the case? And if so, what went into that?
I would say that. Our offense, we had a bunch of new guys, which was one thing. The offensive line was almost completely new except for maybe two guys. And you know, they were having trouble, you know, getting things going in games. I think we had one or two games where we scored on the first drive. And that was fine with us. We just knew that we were going to have to buckle down and, you know, play every series like it was going to be, you know, the games on the line. And we just did that every single game. And, you know, we'd get frustrated with the offense, but we couldn't really control that. We were just going to control what we could on the defensive side. And that's just what we did all year. And offense would eventually, you know, pull something out. And they always, you know, got a score, and it helped us, and we just buckled down every time, and we were going to do what we could do to help the offense out, you know, whether getting turnovers or stops on defense.
Great to have Will Breland with the state champion, UMS three-time state champion, UMS Wright Bulldogs. And Will, one of the most amazing parts is before the season started, you guys already had the target, having won this many, you know, it's 18 in a row coming into the season,
it was 17
wasn't it?
Or 17, something.
18?
Yes, sir.
And then to have the number one preseason ranking again, and you never let that off the table, how much pressure was that coming into the year?
It's a lot of pressure. You know, Coach Curtis tells us every single game, no matter who we're playing, whether it's the last in the region or first in the region or second in the region, that they're going to give us our best shot, and that's how we got with most teams, either teams that weren't in region play. Like, you know, he'd tell us Mobile Christian, they got nothing to lose. They're playing a 4A team, so they're going to give you your best shot. And every other team that, you know, didn't have a good record or all. And he just said that they're going to do whatever they can to beat you, and y'all are just going to have to play lights out every single game. And, you know, having the target on your back really motivates you. And but it also, you know, keeps you in check, you know, and everybody's looking to beat you. And that just motivated us, and we came out every game knowing that everybody wanted to beat us, and we were just going to beat them and try to do our best.
So as a senior, when you're standing at Jordan-Hare Stadium getting set, what's it like looking up and the big Jumbotron having a shot of your school in the stadium? How cool is that?
It was really cool. The little video that they played was really cool. You know, just getting to see that our school was up there on that big stage like that. And all the seniors, we were all talking like, I mean, this is our last game. It really didn't hit us until, you know, about the last series we went out. I had all, you know, I think there's six of us seniors on defense. We all came to each other. We said, hey, it's our last drive right here. Let's go out and have some fun. But it was awesome, you know, looking up at the stands. And, you know, obviously I'm blessed to say that I've done that three times, you know, Bryant, Denny, and Jordan Hare. And but it was awesome getting to look up at all your fans, everybody just out there to cheer you on for your last game.
As much as your season was a grind, that game kind of epitomizes it, the game against Jacksonville, because you guys against Deschler, you know, just, what was it, 52 to nothing? I mean, it just wasn't a game. But this one was different. They the running back, who was very good, broke a 79-yard run on the third play of the game, and it was kind of a fight the whole way, wasn't it?
It was, and we knew coming into that game, you know, watching him on film, that he was extremely fast. And to this day, I've told everybody it's probably one of the fastest kids I've ever seen on a football field. But it was a grind, and we had to keep going out there, and then we had to get a stop. And, you know, I think a couple times the score was really, really close. And when he broke that 79-yard touchdown, I mean, that's when we really clicked. We all settled into the game. We figured out the game speed, because you can't, you know, compare that speed in practice. You can't get the same look in practice as you do in a game. And he showed us that reason why. But going out there, and, you know, it was a lot more fun, though, going out there every play and knowing you had to make the tackle and you had to make a play to win the game. As to last year's game, you could miss a tackle or two or mess up on something. And, hey, it's whatever. You go back to the line, next play. But this play, you had to fix everything if you messed up. And but, yeah, it was a good game. And, you know, they had a pretty good quarterback. He was very confident. And their offensive line had some really good players. And I think one of their offensive linemen made the All-State team too, and he was pretty good. And so, yeah, it was a fun game having to play every play like it was your last.
Speaking of the All-State team,
oh,
it came out on Sunday.
What you got?
Let's hit a few. We'll just go over our first teamers. You can see the rest of it on AL.com. Or
all right.
I assume it was in the Press Register, although I hadn't picked up a copy. in 7A, Kirsten Rogers from Theodore, only a sophomore. These are all first teamers. Running back made it. Jerry Bethay from Fairhope, defensive lineman. Cedric Johnson, we mentioned early, defensive line. Liston Richardson from McGill-Tulane, also on the defensive line. Jamari Butler from Murphy, signed Nebraska last week. He's going. He made it as a first teamer, and so did Trey Pines of Theodore. So congratulations to those guys, all first team 7A guys.
That's pretty impressive with the sophomore Kirsten Rogers already getting on that list.
Big future ahead. 6A, Jairus Williams, the running back from Blount, was a first-teamer. Brady Wilson from Spanish Fort, first-teamer. On the defense, Daniel Foster Allen. We mentioned him. He signed with Auburn. He's a first-teamer, as with Lee Hunter, who's also committed to Auburn, but only a junior. Big defensive lineman from Blount. Sean Bird from Saraland made it first team. And then Chris Abrams-Drain from Spanish Fort, probably Mr. Football candidate. He's a first-teamer as an athlete. So that's the 6A first team. And 5A, Colin Lacey from Faith Academy, South Alabama signee, and Lucas Hall on the offensive line, also from Faith Academy. And then Peyton Bell, a defensive back. So three guys, first team from Faith Academy, Pigskin. And then in Will's class 4A, as he mentioned, Rontarius Wiggins from Jacksonville. That's the guy he's mentioned. I think he finished with 179 yards or something. That's probably most anybody's had against y'all in 3 years, hasn't it?
I think so. Most definitely.
And then Will was first team, as he was last year. He's also the reigning 4A lineman of the year. That'll be announced, by the way, this coming weekend. They'll announce the finalist, Will, for the backs and lineman of the year. We'll see who's on that list. Edwin White, your teammate, first team safety, defensive back, and Richard Brinson, first team athlete. Richard really had a big game in the championship game, didn't he?
Richard had a big game. And Richard always comes out in big games, and he's such an athlete. And, you know, that we had been using him more on defense the last couple games, and he really broke out and used a couple plays. I think they finally realized that we had to get him out on the edge, and they got some big plays drawn up for him, and he took advantage of them.
By the way, I missed Keyshawn Woodyard, another teammate of yours. He was first-team wide receiver. And in 5A, Pigskin Coach of the Year, Jack French from Faith Academy.
How about that? Jack French, boy, he – That's somebody that well deserves to build that program from where it was 2 or 3 years ago. And Jack French is just a magician. He's pretty impressive.
Really was. In 3A, obviously, Mobile Christian was a tough. Y'all played Mobile Christian. What'd you think of them?
They were a good team. But in my opinion, that was one of our best games
really
all year. I think we really watched a lot of film on them and knew what they were going to do and, you know, just kind of shut them down a little bit. But they had some great players.
They had a couple of first teamers, Deontay Lawson, who's only a junior, first team linebacker, and Jason Brooks, first team defensive back. He's also kind of an athlete. He had a bunch of yards in different. I think he scored 10 touchdowns.
Mm. He's probably their fastest player.
And I did see Will, the coach you went up against that state championship, Clint Smith over at Jacksonville. He was the coach of the year. But I'm gonna talk to you about Coach Curtis, who's had his shares of a coach of the year. I know you're happy to have been under him for the last few years over at UMS.
Yes, sir, I have. Coach Curtis has, you know, really built us up as young men, showed us the ropes of football and how to be a, you know, a man in life. And he was a great coach, and he did a lot for us. And, you know, he's super smart, of course, helped us with all these 3 state championships.
All right, we'll talk about him after the break, right? Sound good? Stick around with us another segment. All right, Ben Thomas, Pigskin Pete, Will Breland, UMS Wright Bulldogs, here on the Prep Spotlight on your sports station, WNSP.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, former head football coach and athletic director at the University of Georgia and a Mobilian. And when I get a chance, I always enjoy listening to WNSP 105.5.
Christmas edition Prep Spotlight. Welcome back here in the WNSP studios. Ben Thomas, Pigskin Pete, along with UMS Wright's excellent, excellent football player, Will Breland. Great to have him in the studio. We're going to talk to him more about head coach Terry Curtis in a couple of seconds. First, I know Ben Thomas, with the holidays upon us, a lot of our high school basketball girls, boys, they have a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, big tournament over at Spring Hill the day after Christmas, the Gulf Coast Holiday Classic. It's been at Bishop State. It's at Spring Hill College this year. A lot of teams. It starts, like I said, December 26th and finishes on the 28th. So if you get time, really games going all day. Fairhope's in it, Blount, McGill-Tulin, Williamson, currently the number one team in 4A's in it, Vigor's in it, so a lot of good local teams, Theodore Murphy. If you get a chance and you're off for the holidays, go out there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, see some good basketball. Go out anytime, really, and you'll see you can find a game.
May see a future star like we talked about, Unique Thompson, the former Faith. Is our typical teams going to be the teams to watch in February and March? How does it look when it comes down to our top teams?
Yeah, I think Will's guys over at UMS are really good. Trey Bonham in his last year. If you haven't seen Trey play, you need to see Trey play. Mm. Williamson's number one team in 4A right now. McGill-Tulin and Fairhope, I think they play right after first of the year in 7A. That'll be a big game to watch. So, hey, before we get back to Will, in 2A, a couple of guys we want to mention as our first teamers, Demarion Hicks from Chickasaw was a first teamer, and I think then J.D. Pettaway from Cottage Hill. So that does it for our first teamers.
So we'll have our region teams coming up, and then Mr. Football is going to be announced.
So as I mentioned, the ASWA will announce this weekend the three backs and linemen of the year finalists in each classification. And then January 14th is the Mr. Football Award that Will went to last year. Maybe we'll go to this year. I don't know, I might have to be calling him this weekend and telling him. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then I feel pretty good about it. And but Friday, the All-Region team comes out with the Players of the Year and all that stuff. So be looking for that on AL.com.
Will, we talked about Terry Curtis, and Ben and I are always in awe of just his 22 years over at UMS, incredible numbers. 8 state championships. We saw all of his rings. And what's it been like being under Coach Curtis with your years at UMS?
It's been fun, and it's been rough. And he's always pushing us. You know, from the summer workouts is when he gets the hardest. And, you know, that's the best. You know, when we're doing all these, you know, conditioning drills during the summer, if one person, even if it's a tiny little freshman, if they don't make it to the next group in a certain amount of seconds, everybody's going back. And he's super tough during the summer, and you know, we all hate him during that part, but You know, that's what really helps us during the season because, as you guys have seen, and most people have seen, every game we go into, we're either smaller or less athletic. And I think that a bunch of games, when we get to the fourth quarter, everybody's getting tired, and that's when we start getting pulling ahead. But Coach Curtis has been great. Most of our success I owe to him, and he's gotten everybody in the right place and doing the right thing. And he, you know, the coaches' meetings on Sundays, they're always planning something and getting everything right for the next week. And he's been a joy to be around sometimes. And you know,
sometimes
once you get him off the field, I have gotten him off the field in the hallways a couple times, and he's a good guy to talk to, and he'll crack a joke with you every now and then, and you can sit down and talk with him about anything, and he'll do anything for you. And he's been a real great coach for the past 4 years.
You know, we were talking before the season started, being around this game 40 years or so, and he was talking about the difference of, like, he was talking about music being played over the PA while you guys are practicing. We're like, well, Coach, what do you play, 70s and 80s? He said, nah, my kids kind of take over the tunes on that. Do you guys have any say-so on that? How's that work?
Yes, sir. It's actually, you know, ironically, it's me that does the playlist every Wednesday at practice. You know, my sophomore year, I came together with a couple, I think, seniors, that 2017 group, and we were like, hey, why don't we play music at practice on Wednesdays? I mean, you know, Coach Dean plays music on Thursdays at our walkthrough practice, but, you know, that's all honky-tonk music and all this, all, what you say. So we got together and we devised a playlist. You know, we got some classic rock for all the coaches, and most of our players like classic rock too. And then we add some of the new era music, you know, a little hip-hop and some new country and stuff. And it just made Wednesday practice a lot better. All the coaches loved it more than we did sometimes. And I remember my sophomore year, we lost that Andalusia game, so we knew the next week of practice was going to be real serious. So I didn't play music that Wednesday. And Coach Curtis came up to me, and he said, Will, what are you doing? I said, what are you talking about, Coach? And he said, where's my music? So we had to make a younger kid run in the locker room, grab the phone, and play music. And all the coaches loved the music. And, you know, every time we put a little too much of one genre of music on, and he'd come up to me and say, hey, take a little bit of this off, put a little more of that. So all the coaches really loved it, and we loved it. Made Wednesdays a lot better.
We should mention we were neglecting Will's stats. He was I did a story on Will earlier this year, and he was talking about he wanted to be the all-time leading tackler for UMS, and he did that in Terry Curtis's career, I know. But this year, 197 tackles, Will, 5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions. So congratulations on that. What does the future hold?
The future is kind of undecided right now, and I'm just enjoying my time off. And I talked to Coach Curtis the other day, and he said I know you might not want to play sometimes. He said, that's the same for me. Every year I come into February, I still don't know if I'm going to coach yet. And then I rest up and I decide I want to. So I'm just going to get some rest and, you know, all these aches and bruises I still got just to heal up and just see what happens. I know it's a dead period right now. And once that opens back up, just see what happens. And whatever happens, happens. And I'll make a decision here coming up soon.
Well, if you get in radio, you have a job. You did a great job today.
Yes,
so
sir. Thank
you. This is good stuff, man.
Really
appreciate you jumping in, Will.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having
me. We're going to miss you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, Will Breland here on the Prep Spotlight WNSP. Have a great holiday. We're going to wrap it up. Have a good one, everybody.